Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. And you're going to be glad you're hanging out with me. And I mean that very much because we got John Nesbitt back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Another great visit with our friend John Nesbitt. John's someone that I started reading about and reading his wisdom about 3 decades ago, back in the early part of the 80s. And when I read his book, Megatrends, the perspectives in there changed my life, changed the way I look at the world. And as you know, many of you know that I rarely go more than an hour or so without quoting John, with attribution, of course, on some of the things I've learned from him. And he's got a new book out called China Megatrends that he and his lovely wife Doris have written. And John's back on the show with us now to talk to us some more about China's megatrends. John Nesbitt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Always great to be on with you.
It's good to have you back. I appreciate it very much. Be sure to give our best to Doris.
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
We're looking forward to visiting with her again. John, China is a really ironic and paradoxical place, isn't it?
It's all of those things and more.
Yeah, I mean, it's
hard to figure out.
It's the most interesting thing, if you think about it. If you look at all the things that Earthlings can contemplate, the emergence of China as a superpower, as a sort of a bipolar kind of a political system with a capitalistic economy, but a communistic government. It's an emerging economy unlike almost anything else, and it's kind of hard for the rest of the world to know how to deal with China, isn't it?
Well, I think that's partly because everyone thinks it's a communistic government, and it is not a communistic government. The only thing communistic about it, because you point out the free market and so on, the only thing communistic about it is the name of the party, the Communist Party of China. But we haven't found any communists there. This is, and I think that's a big hurdle for people in the West to understand, because they have this mindset about a communist government, like the Soviet Union or, you know, all
but John,
the
But John, pardon me, but you know, there's a lot of authoritarian control in that country, is there not?
Yeah, but that's not, you don't have to be a communist to be an authoritarian.
Oh, okay, all right, I take your point. I take your point. But liberty is not completely, does not completely flourish unabated in China.
Personal and social liberty is greater than the Chinese have ever had in the history of China. You can do, you know, the fathers of the young people in China today and the grandfathers were totally locked in. They were assigned jobs that they had for their whole lives. They couldn't get married without the permission of the shop foreman or the party. They couldn't go to school unless the party said so. Now that's all gone. People have the great personal and social liberty in China.
One of the things you point out, though, in the book is that Americans and the people in the West are motivated by individual liberties, as I mentioned a minute ago, but the Chinese are motivated more by social order and harmony. Now, so my question is it possible for these two deeply held belief systems to coexist and grow together?
Well, they want to keep social harmony and stability as the given for the society, but they are very creative, entrepreneurial. The Chinese have always been entrepreneurial in all its history, but I can tell you the entrepreneurial gene is flourishing.
Yeah.
In China, and there's the freedom to do that. And today, about 70%, and this is not known in the West, but it's is absolutely amazing. About 70% of the Chinese economy is now private sector.
Hmm. And what, how long do you think it'll take, John, for China to become, not, I'm not going to say democratic, but where the whatever vestiges of authoritarian government there is, and where they have some kind of a democratic system, how long do you think it'll take for that to happen, if ever?
Well, it doesn't. It's not one day one way and next day another way. It's happening now very slowly, and they're moving in the direction of what we call a vertical democracy, which we explain in the book.
Yeah,
where there's much more participation, bottom up, a lot of bottom up incentives and top down directives, the interplay of that. But before they become, you see what we
hold on to that thought.
Will they become like the West?
Hold on to that thought, John. I got to take a quick break. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We've got to sell a few things. John Nesbitt is our guest. When we come back, we got more to come. He and his wife, Doris, have written a book called China's Megatrends. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with us. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. If you're on Twitter, you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Don't want to miss a second of our time with John Nesbitt. So honored to have him as a member of our Brain Trust. And John, we thank you so much for your time. His new book, which he co-authored with his highly intelligent wife, Doris. John and Doris Nesbitt are the authors of China's Megatrends, The 8 Pillars of a New Society. John, one of the things that I've been reporting on lately is one of my intellectual property attorneys in our Brain Trust told me recently that China had almost 40% more patents in the last year than America did.
I think they had 40% more than the previous year, and they're gaining on America, but they're not here yet. But they're passing everybody else in the meantime.
Well, he was pointing out that their patents had grown like something like 500,000 or something like that. In America, we didn't have that many. But he also pointed out that a large number of our patents in America are not even American-owned patents. They're other countries coming to this country to patent things. I don't think China, I doubt if China allows that sort of thing happening. From an innovation...
Oh, sure they do. Oh,
do they
sure
really?
They do, absolutely. They're coming along really well. The answer to the problems of people copying or pirates and so forth is for a country itself to have a lot of patents, to have a lot of innovation, so they pass a very strict patent laws, which then applies to all other people involved in the country, and that's what's slowly happening in China.
Right, right. Very interesting. In terms of innovations, is China creating their own innovations, or are they using what other people are doing and building variations on that? Are they innovating on other innovations? Are they creating, is there anything unique and original coming out of China?
Yes, and what's so interesting, well, you mentioned all the patents they're getting, but what is so interesting is that they're not focusing on things that the West has incredible experience with. They're not focusing on the gas-driven car because the people in the West have 100 years' experience.
Right.
They're working in new areas of robotics, of biotechnology,
mm-hmm.
All of these areas where they're the same starting line as the West.
Right. Well, one of the interesting things about China that I've noticed is that there are, China isn't the place to go get the cheapest labor anymore. I mean, there are other countries that are beating them at that game, aren't they?
There are other countries, and the history of the world is that the more trade there is, the more leveling out of wages there are.
That's right.
And it'll take some time, but that's happening.
Well, I agree with you completely. I've been talking about that, and of course, the other thing that I'm excited about that Americans, I think, should always keep in mind, and I probably mentioned this the last time you were here, and that is the idea of as long as America and China are trading, we're a lot less likely to be fighting. I still want to invoke the wisdom of Frederick Bastiat, who said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. This is a good thing. There's a peace dividend in America and China continuing to trade, isn't there?
Well, that's happening. And what's happening, too, is that the whole world is economically integrating. We're moving toward one economy for the entire world. Take a long time to get there, but we're sure as hell in that direction.
Talk to us about the pillars. You, in your book, the subtitle is all about the eight pillars of a new society. Orient us around those pillars a little bit.
Well, for example, Deng Xiaoping, when he started all these reforms and opening up, as they call it in China, in 1978, the first thing he did was to say, we have to move from indoctrination to emancipation of our minds.
Hmm.
And that's the first pillar that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's a great experimental laboratory there. They try out so many things to see if they'll work. As they work, they nationalize them. And they call that crossing the river by feeling the stones. That's another pillar where people feel their way and they're very quick to change if something's not working. They're looking for things that work and then everyone can try them.
Right. Talk to us more about some of the pillars.
Well, for framing the forest and letting the trees grow, that's a very important pillar where the government creates a big frame like special economic zones within which people, in this case, entrepreneurs, can do whatever they want to do to contribute to the special economic zone becoming a very viable economic zone.
So you're talking about local
there. What works there is copied elsewhere in China.
You talk about local self-determination.
Absolutely, but a lot of bottom up. The whole thing is an interplay between bottom up initiatives and energy and top down directions.
Mm-hmm. This is a concept, though, that's unique in the world, isn't it? The way they manage their economy, the way they deal with their people, this political economic system is unlike anything else in the world, isn't it?
It's unlike anything else, and it's a model that people are looking at. And interestingly, Jim, the Russians are looking at it. They got up people all over China saying, "How did they do it? How did they go from dirt poor to the second biggest economy in the world in 30 years, and we've got to learn from them," say the Russians.
Very interesting, folks. This is it's at least news, and it might be a cautionary tale for America, folks. Something to think about. John Nesbitt is our guest, and he and his wife Doris wrote the book called China's Megatrends, The Eight Pillars of a New Society. It's their new book. It's available wherever books are sold. Check it out. Quick break. Right back with John after these messages. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with us. We've got our good friend John Nesbitt back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. One of the great prophets of our time, John Nesbitt, the author of Megatrends. His new book is, which he co-authored with his wife Doris, China's Megatrends, The Eight Pillars of a New Society. John, your website is Nesbitt.com, is that right?
Yes.
And that's Naisbitt.com.
Right.
And the books are available wherever books are sold, right?
I hope so.
Well, I'm sure they are. If you wrote a book, John, I can't imagine it not being available. John, what advice would you give to small business owners? One of the things I've done quite a bit of work on over the years, and I'm doing more and more of right now with the Commercial Service, the Department of Commerce, and Ex-Im Bank, and other groups of our government, is helping small business owners to get more involved in exporting, which includes China. So what advice to a small business owner would you give for doing business in China?
My advice would be to do it on the ground. You have to go there. You have to see what it's like for yourself, and then you have to find yourself a Chinese partner.
The Chinese are big on high touch, aren't they, John?
Very, very, very big on personal relationships. That's it. In fact, they hate contracts. It's all trust. And that's why sometimes Americans get in big trouble with them, because they insist on, you know, 57 pages of contract.
Yeah.
And remember, by crossing the river, by feeling the stones, the Chinese feel you're going to have to adjust as you go along to changing conditions, changing context.
One of the things that the Commercial Service Department, Division of the Commerce Department, does a real good job of is prospecting and identifying prospects and actually doing video conferencing with American companies and foreign companies over a video conference where they can see each other and as a way of sort of a first date to see if there's any chemistry, to see if there's anything that's we want to go forward with before money is spent on making that trip. Does that work?
That is terrific.
It's working in a lot of countries.
That, Jim. I think that's great.
So that will work in China?
Well, it's a first date, yeah.
Yeah.
Then you go to China and you meet the folks there and see what's possible.
Right. China is such a huge, huge country. There's so many markets. There's so many. I mean, they've got how many dozens and dozens of cities that are over a million people. I mean, it's hard for
try 120.
Yeah. How do we get our head around that?
I you know, and first of all, it's got four times more people than the United States.
Yep.
It's in about 22 provinces and regions, and it's so diverse. That's another thing. You know, it differs one from another. The provinces, some are going fast, some are going slow. And they differ one from another.
It's very intimidating, John.
Well, it's also a great opportunity for those who are willing to explore it.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm concerned about is Western ethics is not the same as Eastern ethics, is it? And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different. What do you think?
Well, it is. Yeah, it's different. But I think that one constant is honesty in both camps.
Yeah.
And you know, the biggest issue in China is corruption. And the biggest issue you will see in the newspapers, and we monitor all the news, mm-hmm. newspapers from all the problems, the biggest issue is corruption and the environment.
In China, but see that, but now that doesn't sound like honesty, John.
Well, corruption does, but the fact that they're trying to do something about it is a function of their desiring to have an honest society.
But is that something that a small business owner should be wary of if they do business in China?
Well, there's corruption in every country in the world, as far as I know. It's greater in some than others. It's better in the United States than in many, many countries.
But it's the reason why you should associate yourself with professionals like yourself, like the Department of Commerce, like Ex-Im Bank, those kind of groups. Would you agree with that?
Well, I would find a counterpart Chinese to do that with.
Okay.
Because you got to know the country and how you do business and the ethics and what works and what doesn't work in China and so on.
Now, John, you and Doris are going there in a couple of weeks, and you're going to spend some time there, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, we have one foot in Europe and one foot in China. We live there and we live in Europe.
Yeah, both places. Will you come back after your next visit? Give us another report.
Sure will, Jim. We'd love to do it.
Thank you for being here, John Nesbitt. Appreciate it. You and Doris, safe travels to you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, John. John Nesbitt, ladies and gentlemen. What a great treat it is to have him back on the show. And it's so exciting the work that he's doing there in China. China's Megatrends is the book. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll see you tomorrow.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.